A common sense recap of the day's biggest stories. It's John Catsimatidis and Cats at Night on 77 WABC.
Welcome to John Catsimatidis, Cats at Night. John Catsimatidis, how's it going down in Florida?
Well, the sun is still shining, and I'm telling you, it's not a bad place to be for a few days. I understand we have a next guest on the line now, Larry Kudlow?
We do.
Well, a longtime advisor to President Trump, an economist and advisor to Ronald Reagan, one of the smartest people I know about the economy. With us is Larry Kudlow. How are you, Larry?
I'm good, John. I'm just trying to figure out why you're in Miami and I'm in New York City.
Well, I heard there was snow coming, and I escaped on Thursday night. Actually, you know, Margo celebrates every year Russian Christmas, Russian New Year, and her mom started that tradition with the Russian Heritage Foundation 26 years ago. And when her mom passed, Margo is continuing with that tradition, respecting her forefathers on behalf of her mom and respecting her mother that way. And we planned and we did a big press conference today. And tomorrow we have a big gala celebrating Russian New Year. And we did not invite Putin.
Well, good for Margo. And I got a
quick funny one. Baker, Mayor Baker, who was Russian, was the former mayor in St. Petersburg. And he met with Putin like about 10, 15 years ago in New York. And Putin is 5'6", and Mayor Baker is like 6'11". Putin refused to take a picture with him because he didn't want to look that short.
Smart.
Putin is 5'6".
Putin's got even more trouble now besides the Ukraine. He's got an uprising in Kazakhstan. Big problem.
He sent troops in, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he did. And there's, you know, the pro Putin government is losing favor and support. So Putin may start thinking twice about his whole situation, including the Ukraine. The talks on the Ukraine start with the U.S. start on Monday, and then they're going to continue all next week with NATO and various security groups. So this is a tough story. But the Kazakhstan, you know, Kazakhstan is rich with oil and natural gas. That complicates matters for Putin quite a bit, which is good. I'm glad. Life should be very complex for that jerk.
Tell us how you really feel.
For who does the oil really belong to? That's the $64 trillion question. Larry, yeah, you're a longtime advisor to President Trump. Have you given him any advice lately that you want to share with us?
look, I'm in touch with the former president quite a bit. And all I can say is I'm glad that he did not hold a formal press conference on January 6th. I think that was the right move. Mm-hmm. I thought his statements criticizing President Biden were very good. I mean, you know, Biden had a not-so-hidden agenda. They'd love to use January 6th to cover up all the mistakes they've made and how his presidency is on the decline. And, of course, they want to federalize or nationalize election law. They're not really getting to the bottom of what happened on January 6th with respect to security breakdowns. So I'm glad. I thought President Trump played his cards just about right, John.
Understood. Where do you think we're going? You know, it seems like the jobs went down again. It looks like interest rates will increase in the near future. It looks like inflation continues. It looks like oil continues to increase. What say you?
Well, you know, the jobs report today was a mixed bag. The payrolls were underperforming, although with revisions, they did go up about 340,000 It wasn't the 455 the market wanted. But the other side of that coin was a lot of strength. The household survey was up 651,000 after 1.1 million last month. And importantly, the unemployment rate has fallen again to 3.9%, and wages were very, very strong. Average hourly earnings up 0.6%. The so-called wage proxy, hours worked times average hourly earnings, is running about 9 or 10%. So if you're in the Federal Reserve, you're going to look at this number with difficulty, and it's going to push them to tighten policies faster and more aggressively. That's my take. Jim Bullard, the president of the St. Louis Fed, who's a friend, I think he's the smartest guy in the FOMC. He's saying they got to raise rates by March. I think they should raise rates right now, to be honest with you. You're going to get a CPI number, I guess it's next week or so, that's going to be at least 7% year on year. So this is going to be a tough story, a difficult story. The Fed, you know, when you run from zero inflation to 7% in a year, 18 months, the Fed's got to take action to stop it, John. It may not end happily. That's the risk here. You know, right now we're in an inflationary boom, but you give them a year of tightening and they're going to do more than anybody thinks, including themselves. That's my forecast. So this story may not have a happy ending. There's no soft landing out there. So I'd be very, very careful right now.
Larry, it's Richard Weinberg. So what do you see happening with this effort to get the BB bill, the Build Back Better bill, resuscitated in the early part of this year?
Save America, kill the bill.
I agree 100%. I understand there was a report this afternoon that Bill Clinton himself called our senator from West Virginia and
Manchin.
Obama and
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey?
Yes.
Oh, well, that must have been the most important one. Knowing our senator from West Virginia, does that move him an inch?
Nope, not an inch. Not even a millimeter. I don't even know what a millimeter is, but he won't even move
a millimeter. Well, I'll tell you the truth, I'm disappointed. If President Clinton called him, I'm disappointed in the fact that he called.
Yeah, because Bill Clinton was, to coin a phrase, a common sense Democrat. I don't know where I heard that phrase, but someone wrote it. Someone just did a very good video on that. I liked it. I thought it was a terrific video, John. But yeah, Clinton's a disappointment. The others are not disappointments. Look, Manchin's not going to move because his basic fundamental issue is more spending equals higher inflation. And the inflation rate is rising, and there's nothing to stop it. So I don't believe it. I mean, in West Virginia, his polls are way, way up. In fact, he doubled his favorables because he's doing the right thing. You're not going to move him. I think the whole thing is dead. I hope it's dead. I'm going to continue to work to kill it. I don't think the country wants it. Inflation is the number one issue, and we do not need more and more spending. We don't need it. That was the source of the inflation problem to begin with.
And what about Senator Schumer?
Larry Kudlow, I stand next to you I think it should be killed. It'll push inflation to even higher rates. And you know, it just doesn't make sense at this point in time.
You've got some crazy people now. We had a segment on our show about this. There's actually, we need more money to fight Omicron COVID. No, we don't. We don't even know where the money is in the first place. Mm-hmm. I had a couple of House members on. They can't even track the money. We don't need more spending. What we need is less spending. And what we need is to make the Trump tax cuts permanent. And what we also need is to stop picking on the fossil fuel industry, which is keeping America alive, heated, and on the road. I mean, these are gigantic mistakes. And so all this BBB stuff, which would make the problem tremendously worse. But you and I are completely together on this. And Manchin is your common sense Democrat. Maybe Kyrsten Sinema. There may be a few others that haven't been heard from yet. But no, I think the bill is dead. And I told Governor Patterson, you know, to go and fix that.
I know.
So I had to kill. So I went out and I acted on my own and I killed the bill.
You saved America.
Well, you've done us all a favor, Larry.
Yes, you did, Larry.
Now you've got this other thing. I got to tell you, it came up on my show today, Governor Patterson. This idea from Governor Hochul that therapies and other COVID aids should be handed out to minority groups first, to non-white minority groups, is a really bad idea. It's a divisive idea. It runs counter to American values. I mean, it's extremely disappointing that she is pushing this idea that any therapies that come out should first go to the minority groups.
You know, Larry, it would have been the easiest. It would have been the easiest thing to have simply said that we're going to try to attack the areas where the virus has hurt the most. In doing that, you haven't made any statement about race or national origin or anything like that, and you would probably be able to bring more resources into those neighborhoods that were the hardest hit. But what boggles the mind is why you would deliberately want to associate it in a way as if there was a racial preference, because right. Racial preference is what we've been fighting for 150 years the other way around. So why turn around and now that the opportunity presents itself to do exactly the reverse of what we've been fighting?
And you have a real legal issue here, a real constitutional issue under the Equal Protection Clause.
Mm. Yeah, well, Steve, no. By the way, David, you're right. I agree 100% with everything you just said. You could have gotten this thing done. And so, look, in these neighborhoods, for heaven's sakes, they may be low-income neighborhoods. You may have lots of nationalities, lots of ethnic groups. You don't have to call one out over the other. I'm so tired of this racial division stuff, whether it's regarding COVID or whether it's regarding schools or whether it's regarding housing loans. You see it time and time again. The Biden administration, with this critical race theory stuff, it's just un-American. It violates our values and probably violates our laws, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're talking about the monoclonal antibody treatments, the COVID testing, the therapeutics. Shouldn't it should just be based on how seriously ill someone is and not on the color of their skin.
I mean, I'm hoping, look, this Omicron stuff is probably peaking. People are getting it left and right, but it's not serious. I mean, I got people on my team here who tested positive, so they're home. But they're working from home. They're in fine shape. And what's going to happen is they will get natural immunity, and we will move closer and closer to herd immunity. Omicron may be a blessing in disguise. But to try to racialize this and cause these kinds of divisions, to me, is unpardonable. New York City is a great place. You know, why pit one group against another? And this Governor Hochul person should have never gone that way. And she should have talked to David Patterson about it. And she should retrace. She should retrace and said, wait a minute, we looked at it wrong. We're going to change our approach. That would be statesmanship.
Who elected her anyway? Well, thank you so much, Larry Kudlow. Did you see the joke there, by the way? Nobody elected her. Anyway, thank you so much, Larry Kudlow, so much.
Nobody elected her anyway, and I'm waiting for my free ticket to Miami.
I think we know somebody with a plane.
Hmm. We all are waiting. We're all waiting.
Hmm. Oh, well, thank you so much, Larry Kudlow. Great conversation with you. And coming up, we'll be talking more about COVID and Omicron with Dr. Mark Siegel.